I don't think
there might not be one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Let me do it since I know what theme it is.
Yeah.
Let me call it to attention. All right, guys. We can quiet down just a wee bit. We're delighted to have Eric Young with us. High off of ministry, and you saw his little introduction I sent out yesterday or whatever day, Friday, Thursday, I don't remember. Anyway, you saw what he had to say, so I'll just turn it over to him and let him explain everything.
Hi, guys. Like John said, my name's Eric. Thank you for being here, for sharing time. I'm excited to tell you about what's going on. I am what's called a CMIT, or Campus Missionary in Training, with Chi Alpha. We are an international organization. We're on college campuses everywhere from North America, South America, Asia, Africa, around the world. My current assignment is to Longwood and Hampton, Sydney. So I get to work with college students. Little background, I just graduated in May from Longwood University. I've got a bachelor's degree in math, and God said that I'm going to use that for ministry somehow. So I just want to start and open with prayer, if that's all right. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this room. God, I want you to come sit with us, be over our conversation, be over our ears, be over our hearts, God. We surrender to you. Over everything, God, we just pray that your will would be done here, God. Let your will be done here today. Put us aside, move us aside, God. It's never been about us, it's always been about you. Break our hearts the way your heart breaks for our community. Lead each step, God, and we just give this time to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for having me. You might be wondering, who the heck is this dude? Other than Eric? And that's good, because I'm going to tell you. A little bit about myself. I grew up Presbyterian church, and for a couple of years, that's the first part of my life. Then we hopped around, went all over. Landed at a non-denominational church by around the age of 5. Grew up in it. I knew a heck of a lot about God, or at least I thought I did. My father left my family when I was young, probably in 4th grade. So in 6th grade, I was at a student event. I had an encounter with God. It was the first time I felt his presence. That was enough. I knew God was real. I knew that I had an earthly father who had failed me, but I had a heavenly one who loved me and cared for me. And then that's where my relationship stopped. I knew he was real. I'm going to be real honest with you guys, because I think that everybody should be. My story is not about how bad I was. It's about how good God is. When I had that encounter in 6th grade, similar time, addiction entered my life in the form of pornography, so I was looking at stuff I shouldn't be looking at. And for the next, 8 years, I lived in this cycle of knowing that that wasn't what God wanted for me, trying to fix it in my own strength. Just because of my past hurt with my father, I felt like I had to make myself right so God would love me, so God would call me worthy. And as we all know, when you try that kind of thing in your own strength, you fail and you fall. And so I just lived there. I was still going to church. I played keys on my worship team. I loved God, but I would say, looking back on it, I didn't fear him. I didn't really understand what that meant. I had just played keys at my church's youth camp the summer before I came to Longwood. And I was, for lack of a better term, I was on my Jesus high. Because when you're not in that constant relationship with him, you go through those seasons where it's like, okay, God's real, and then you slowly transition back into the world. And I was on that Jesus high. I came to college. I even started following Chi Alpha on Instagram before I got here, because, I was going to get involved in a ministry. The first Tuesday night of college, I sat down with my new friends, and I was like, hey, there's this ministry thing. They're meeting on campus. Might be cool. Do you guys want to come? And they looked at me, and they were like, no. And I wish I could say that I went, but that's not my story. I didn't go. About a week later, the same friends I was hanging around encouraged me. I started drinking, you know. A month after that, the same people who were encouraging me to drink a month previously sat me down and said, Eric, we're worried about you. Like, you need to be careful. This is too much. I, being the young adult, mature, like, I was a college student. I was a freshman now, out of home, mature. I made the mature decision to only drink on weekends because, you know, it sounded mature. And I at least knew if everybody in my life that cared about me was telling me the same thing, I should listen. And I woke up that Monday morning, and in my mind it was just 5 days till Friday. Tuesday was 4 days till Friday. 3 days till Friday. Just making it through the week. And, you know, I did not see a problem with it. It was just how I chose to live. I did what I had to do, scraped by, and I lived on the weekend. COVID happened. We all lived that. School shut down. I went home. I lived with my sister. That didn't help it. I just drank a whole bunch more then. Again, I'm not going to give you all the details. You guys can imagine. That's not what my story's about. It's after COVID. At this point, I do have a girlfriend, doing stuff I'm not supposed to be doing, still struggling, looking at stuff I'm not supposed to be looking at, drinking way more, and, you know. But I go, and my church asked me to play this youth camp. And I go to play keys at this youth camp. I'm all fired up. I'm practicing extra hard beforehand. I'm excited to go. And I get there, and for the first time in my life, I try to worship, and I feel nothing. And it scared the crap out of me. This whole week, every time I get behind that keyboard, every time I try to go before the Lord, it's like I'm snatched out of it. I feel nothing. It's distraction. I think it's just what I thought spiritual warfare was at the time with my kind of limited understanding of it, having never studied. And I was like, why can't, like, God loves me. I'm trying to be in His presence. Why won't He, you know? At the end of the week, I talked to my pastor, and I'm like, this is what's happening. I can't feel God, and I don't like it. He looks me in the eye, and he says, Eric, I know you've been away at college. We haven't really touched base in a while, but one, what was the last thing God told you to do, and did you do it? Which I didn't even really know what that meant. Like, I had never experienced relation with the Lord and talking and getting direction and acting. So I was like, whoop, over my head. Second question he asked, though, is there anything in your life that doesn't honor God? And I was immediately gripped with this, like, it's my addiction. It's my this. Didn't know it was the alcohol, because at this point I still didn't even know that was a problem. I'm just being honest. So I come home, I talk to my girlfriend at the time. I'm like, hey, I know this is out of nowhere, but I need God to be our number one thing. I can't, like this stuff, I need stuff to change. I can't. She told me that she wanted to be my number one, and for those reasons, I was like, it's just, like, this is, I can't live my life like this anymore. So we broke up. I met my current fiance now, but shortly after that, I don't know if it was too soon. It looked like it to my family, though. All I know is that she loved God and she was praying for me, and I don't know where I would be without that. For the rest of the summer, I was like in my word, I was growing, I was learning, and then I came back to school. And my fiance now, who my girlfriend at the time, she watched the person that she was loving. She watched my language change as I hung around my fraternity brothers. She watched my habits change as I was drinking again. She watched this. She, like, I remember her being confused and her being like, wow, you cuss a lot. I didn't know that. Like, you're like a different person. And I just blew it off because I was cool. I was college guy. I was fraternity brother. You know, and not much changed downhill until spring break, my junior year. I'm home, and I went to church, because that's what I did when I was in front of my mama. I went to church. And I can't tell you exactly what he said, but our pastor preached about getting involved in Christian community. I mean, Christian community, not just a social club, but community, accountability, the whole nine. And I didn't know what it was at the time, but the Holy Spirit took me by the heart and just screamed like, "You need that. You need that." Hop in the car, open my phone, because I was like, oh, that was cool church, you know. But that stays at church. But open my phone, and the first thing I see on my Instagram is a Chi Alpha Instagram post that I started following 3.5 years before, never noticed on my phone. And like I said, I wasn't used to hearing from the Lord, didn't really know what that looked like, but I was like, it doesn't really feel like a coincidence. So, fast forward, I'm back at school. It's Tuesday, which is when Chi Alpha meets in the large group. I'm on FaceTime with my girlfriend, because we're long distance at the time, and I tell her, like, there's this, like, campus ministry thing, I think I'm gonna, and she just is like, go, like, go, because this whole year, I didn't know it, but she'd been praying her butt off for me, like, I will never be able to tell her how much I appreciate it, and how much it means to me, but guys, like, she was in a place, so, a little bit of background here, I don't necessarily usually always share this part, but, you know, I'm here. Her whole life, she had prayed, like, God, I give you my future relationship. I'm not going to date until you tell me. But when you tell me he's the one, I'm trusting you with that decision. I don't want to date multiple people. I want one man. But after seeing me go back into all this, she's like, God, am I even supposed to be with him? Like, why would you? I thought I heard you. I thought this. And she's just praying for this whole period of time. Like, God, let me see him how you see him. Like, give me opportunities to speak life into him, but just let me see him how you see him. And so when she heard me, like maybe campus ministry, she's like, yes, yeah. And I go that Tuesday night. And I don't know if anybody knows her, Jenny McIntosh, wife of a pastor at New Life, but she helps lead our Chi Alpha, and she's speaking. And again, I can't tell you exactly what she said, but for the first time in my life, I realized that, oh, that was the next week. First week, I go, I'm so sorry. Wow. I wasn't looking for a social club, and I knew that. And the first week, it was great, because they were just giving testimonies from their spring break mission trips. And it was, it wasn't like we went and we did beach cleanup at the beach and had a fun beach week. It was, we went into a shopping mall and we went up to people and asked if we could pray for them. And it was scary, but here's how God moved. And I remember I was sitting in the bleachers, and it's a building called Up Church on campus. And I was sitting there and I was like, that's cool. I'm glad that's for them, but all I heard was they're serious about Jesus. I was like, might be coming back. The next week I come back, Jenny's talking. And for the first time in my life, I realized that God just wanted me. Like, I didn't have to make myself worthy for it. I didn't have to make myself righteous. In fact, I couldn't. And so I tried something new that night. And I said, God, this hasn't worked for the last 21 years, so if you tell me you love me as I am, here I am. My life is yours. Surrender to you. Like, where you want me to go, I'll go. I don't care where that is. And I vaguely remember hearing the, are you sure? I don't know what that means, but yeah. Again, this hasn't worked for 21 years, God. I need something new. The next week, I go back. I bring Hannah with me because she's in town. Hannah's my fiance. And that week, I'm living in freedom from addiction, which, like I said, I had a porn addiction for 8 years of my life. And like I like remember like I didn't want it, and just trying in my own strength and falling into it and then feeling the shame and the guilt. So for this period of a week, I was without it, and I was like, oh my gosh, God. Like, oh my God. In like the best possible way. And I'm like, I'm living in freedom. Nobody ever has to know. It's great. And then Jenny's talking. I have no idea what she was talking about, because in my head, I'm just hearing God, like, you need to tell Hannah about this. I'm making every excuse. She lives in Newport News. She's going home that night. It's 9:30 p.m. She's got a 2.5-hour drive. She works a 5:45 a.m. shift the next day. I'm making every excuse. Like, God wouldn't tell me to do that. Like, how could I put that on her? That's not fair to her. And in my head, like, I hear him, and he's just like, are you surrendered or are you not? Are you or are you not? And I said, God, I told you I was. So then do it. I go up to Hannah, I'm like, hey, I know you're about to go, but I think I need to talk about something. She says, I need to use the restroom. She goes off to the restroom. I'm sweating bullets. Like, I didn't know it, but she was praying. Because God had already told her everything I was going to say. Don't ask me how she stayed with me. Don't ask me why, because I got no idea other than God. I come out and I tell her, and she just looks at me. I'm like seeing like her, like hurt, but I'm seeing this peace in her. And she's just like, I still love you. We're going to figure this out. And she drove home that night. She came back the next week, thank God. And every day since then has been me thinking I know what it means to be surrendered to the Lord. And then him showing me that one thing. And it has been the hardest 2 years of my entire life, but it has been the best 2 years of my entire life, because God's moved in so much. When I started 2 years ago, I was in a place where I was like, maybe when I get married, I won't need this anymore. Maybe if I could just get married. And now, like 2 years later, I'm like, that is laughable. Oh my gosh. God came and got me in the middle of college, in the middle of a fraternity, in the middle of addiction. And he came and got me. He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground, and showed me that there is a better way. We don't have to settle for what our expectation is, because God has so much more for us. And it's so easy to put him in this box of what we can see him do. But when we let ourselves get out of there and let God show us what he can do. The same God that parts the ocean waters. The same God that came in Acts chapter 2. I don't care what you believe, baptism of the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing. I know in Acts chapter 2, he came down, he sent his Holy Spirit, and the word spread where it wasn't. And I believe that that will happen in Jesus' name on the college campus. I don't care if we're not a Christian university, the secular campus, non-Christian university campus is somewhere where people come from all over the world to learn. Why can't they learn about Jesus? Why can't they learn about salvation? There are people who their whole life, they come from a house that Jesus isn't just not talked about, it's taboo, like won't touch. And for the first time, they're away from their parents and they can entertain the thought of God. It might be the only 4 years of their life. They are dying. They are looking for it in everything in this world, and they can't find it, because we all know there is nothing that satisfies us like the Lord. There is nothing that can fill that gap but the Lord. And I'm tired of people thinking of going to college and it just being the place where they go crazy, or this will be. Some people go to college and they literally think, this is going to be the best 4 years of my life. How depressing is that? That when you walk across that graduation stage, it's all downhill from there. When we know the truth that the best is yet to come, that there is more and more and more that we can like have and have access to and learn. That's my story. Thank you for listening. Actually, no, let me correct myself. That's God's story. I remember coming out of it, and the first time that I made that distinction, I was sitting with a friend, and I was like, I think I'm supposed to tell him that I was deleted from pornography. And I was just like, but why? Like, that's too shameful. He's going to think of me different, yada, yada, yada. And that was, I felt the Spirit, and it was like, it's not your testimony, it's mine. So that's, I don't know why I went there, but. We're going to skip around a little bit. These are my guys. I love them. A lot of you probably know Josh Cody. He's part of the Sudanese family that you guys helped sponsor, helped get here. He's a refugee family. He's a great friend of mine. I'm going to tell you about... I'm going to tell you about none of these people, actually, which is really awkward. I'm going to tell you about my friend Hugh, who's on campus. Hugh was in my computer science class last year. I invited Hugh to come and to Chi Alpha, and he came, and he listened to Jenny preach, and I remember he walked up to me, and he was just like, Eric, it's like she knew me. Yeah. Like, she was talking to me, and, like, it was weird. He came to small group that week, which is crazy. Like, if you can get them to Chi Alpha, that's great. But he came to small group that week. He had downloaded the Bible app on his phone, and he's, like, asking. We were going through John, which is a common thing for, like, Bible groups to go through. But, and he's asking questions, like, everything from, like, why is the words in my Bible different than the words in your Bible? Like, he didn't know there was different translations, to, like, these deep theology questions, like, what does it mean, like, the whole, like, Jesus turning water in wine? Like, that didn't really happen, but it did. But he's, like, eating it up. And that next Tuesday, I'm excited for him to come back, and he's not there. And I text him, I'm like, hey, man, missed you. Missed him at small group, missed him. It continued for a month until he texts me. Hey, Eric, I gotta talk to you. I just kind of mended this relationship thing with my mom. If she found out I was going to church and even entertaining the idea of God, she would, like, it would all go to crap. I would have none of my freedom. Like, I just can't. And I'm reading this text message, and, like, I'm bawling my eyes out, and I got no idea why. It was the first time God broke my heart for somebody. It destroyed me. My whole life, I haven't always agreed with my mama on everything, but I know that she wanted Jesus for me. And something about the fact that that was the one person in his life that was holding him back, like, how hungry he was. And, like, it, like, I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about, but it tore me. And, like, this was before I even knew I was called to ministry, any of that. I just knew I was called to heal. And, you know, this is first semester last year. So at the end of the semester, I had a Bible in my backpack for heal. Because I was praying for him the whole time. I kept inviting him. But I was, we had just studied together, and I was like, it was the last time I was going to see him for the winter, and I was like, Hugh, I got something for you. And I handed him this Bible. And he was like, you know, me and my mom are pretty good. I was actually just thinking about getting more. That's where we left our relationship. But God's not, I know God's going to help him through his life. I'm fasting, I am praying, I am believing, and I'm looking for people that can fast, pray, and believe with me for other people like you on my campus. Because let me tell you guys, some of them, nobody else is coming. In fact, some of them, everybody's coming against them. When you have college students, you have two groups of people, I believe, from my experience. You have the people that go to college, I'm going to have fun. And, like, everybody knows college is hard, but it's hard for different reasons. Some people, it's because they go, like me, when drinking, party scene, it's hard to do homework when you're, you know. Some people, they get to college, and it's like, they just study, and they get 2 years in, straight A's, and they are crushed socially because they have no community. And what both people need is Jesus. What all of these guys needed was Jesus. And He came and got us each. What my campus needs is Jesus. Psalm 27, I have that on there because Psalm 27:4. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Our goal for all of these students, if they could leave college and say, I have asked one thing from the Lord, it is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, everything else will be added. I mean, like, they'll receive their calls. If when you stand in the presence, that doesn't change. When you learn to seek His presence, things just change. It's a side effect. Getting to heaven, and I know that this, I got the ADHD. I don't know if y'all noticed, but so I'm going all over. Getting to heaven, we all know this. It's the side effect, not the goal. The goal is to reach the lost. And that's what we're doing on campus. I could tell you about why I love Chi Alpha all day long. But the main reason why I love Chi Alpha is it's never been about Chi Alpha. We don't care what ministry you want to go to. As long as you're going to one, as long as you're in the Word, as long as you're believing in Jesus, as long as you're getting filled, it's about Jesus. And there's people like me, and like I can see it in some of you guys' eyes. Like God's gripping your hearts for these students. And that's not accidentally. It's because their mamas don't care. I have a friend named Anna Schmid. I'm going to share part of her testimony next Sunday. But her, when she told her mom that she was doing this ministry thing and that she wasn't going out and drinking and partying, her mom was angry. She's like, you're wasting your 20s. You're going to regret this for the rest of your life. You need to go out and party. You need to go explore. You need to do all these things. You're like, you got like these students on campus, they need fathers and mothers' blessings. If God's gripping your heart right now, don't let yourself go through this week without praying for students on campus and the people in our community. The other thing I love about Chi Alpha is it's not just a college ministry. We're a college-age ministry. Our chapter's kind of unique in that. There's people that, students that come that are just in the community. Like, it's not just people that go to Longwood and Hampton, Sydney. It's people that go, some are online at community colleges. Some work at Walmart full-time. Some are just, there was a guy that was a lineman, actually, that was coming to our Chi Alpha. But he was our age, and he wanted to learn about Jesus. Like, it's not about college. It's not about Chi Alpha. It's about Jesus and reaching the lost. Before, I am a full-time missionary in training. That means I live fully off of support. I don't have a bigger organization paying for my living expenses. It's people like you that make it possible for me to even be on campus. If you're interested in giving, I'll tell you about that later. But my commitment to you guys, whether you give or not, whether you pray for me or not, just know. I'm working 40 to 50 hours a week. I'm committed to at least 40. It will likely be more. I'm setting up events. I'm helping plan stuff. I'm doing campus evangelism, which is not me hitting people over the head with a Bible, even though. It's me going into upchurch where people eat and sitting with that guy that's sitting alone and just asking questions, like listening. Like, what's your experience with God? Do you think that there is a God? And you just let Holy Spirit lead that conversation, and He'll do way more than you ever can do. I'm also taking Bible classes. So at the end of this, I'll be able to apply for credentials with the Assemblies of God Church. Chi Alpha is non-denominational, but we are sponsored by the AG Church. So my missions account, my funding, it's all done through that route. If you have more questions of the implications of what that means theology-wise, my contact information's on the back of all these. Feel free to reach out. Feel free to ask. In fact, please ask. Be informed. Yeah. Speaking of being informed, I'm committed to keeping you guys informed. At least monthly newsletters that's just got pictures, updates of what's happening on campus, how you can be praying for me. If you're supporting me financially, I expect that you are supporting me prayerfully. Because money's great, but $5 can buy me a sandwich. Your prayer can feed me for the rest of the year. And then some. And my children's children and my children's children. And I'm committed to praying for you guys too. I'm looking not just, I'm raising money so I can go do my ministry. This is part of my ministry. I get to invite you guys to help me make a difference on that campus. So all of these points, it has to do with that. Like, you're investing in me, so you deserve to know I'm working hard. You're investing in me, so you deserve to know what that looks like. You're investing in me, so let me invest in you. If you don't tell me how I can pray for you, we're building, you want to talk about relationships, yada, yada, yada. You're building up your side and supporting me and not letting me equal you in that. That sounds dysfunctional, but... So, my question right now to you guys is, would you partner with me in prayer and or financial support? Would you consider investing in movement of the Kingdom of God on campus? That's fluffy words for asking, would you guys put me on that campus? Would you guys believe for those students? I don't just want hope. I want people that believe for the students, that care about them. God came and got me in the middle of all it, so I already know He can do it. I walked in the middle to an academic building last semester, and it's 8 in the morning. Why I was up at 8 in the morning? Well, that was God. But I look to my right, and it's two girls, and one is bawling her eyes out, and the other is just praying over her right there in the middle of campus. And, you know, it struck me because I was like, why is that abnormal? Why can't that be our normal? Why can't that courtyard be one? Well, there's a new building there now. But why can't that courtyard be one where just prayer happens, where people believe for one another, where people encourage one another? The college campus doesn't, I don't even have time to get into my whole frat life speech about how, like, the college campus is not a place where women have to learn that they're just objects, where men learn to treat women like objects, where men learn how to be alcoholics. That's not what it's for. It's a place that they can find Jesus, that they can find meaning, that they can see God move in ways that they can't even comprehend. And if you don't think that's possible, it's hard to believe, but that's just because of how big God is. And if you can teach yourself and make yourself believe for it, we will see it. Psalm 27, I was talking about earlier, second to last verse in that chapter is, I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. We will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. We just got to work and look for it. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to pray for college students. I feel like that's what we should do. Before I do that, does anybody have any questions? It is good that you do. I don't like standing here when nobody asks a question. So even if you're not curious, ask a question.
We are about out of time, Eric. Uh-huh. Let's pray, and then we'll hang around the sanctuary for a few minutes because there was a meeting in here.
Okay.
I'll hang around the sanctuary for a little bit for people to...
Yeah, absolutely.
...to give you some questions. So pray as you feel led, and I'll close it down a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and open if that's all right, guys. Mm-hmm. Hey, God. You are worthy. You are matchless. You are worthy of the college campus, God. You are worthy of this community, God. It is yours. Whether we recognize it or not, it is already yours. We have just given it back to you, God. God, we know that you see each student. We know how your heart must break for them, even if we can't comprehend it. And I pray that you just give us a taste of what that's like. Let us feel that burden, God. Let us feel that burden. Show us how to have faith for them. Show us how to believe for them, God. God, move in this community, not just on the college campus, but through the youth and young adults all over. Let it spread like wildfire, God. God, we thank you for your presence. Let it be contagious on our campus.
Father, I thank you for Eric and others, so many others like him who just have a passion to see young people come to know you. I thank you for his enthusiasm. I thank you for his heart. I thank you for the emotion that you have given him to feel others' pain. And I assume it goes for joy too. Father, I just ask that you be with Eric, and specifically with Eric as he moves into the campus and beyond, to speak boldly for you, to live his life in front of others so that others would know that there is a God who is loving, a God who is caring, a God who is worthy of worship and praise in our very lives. Thank you that we get to know Eric a little bit. Help us as individuals and as a congregation to pray for him and pray for other ministries on the campus that you've placed there for the very purpose of bringing these young people into fellowship with you. I pray that you would certainly lead and guide and just pave the way for the ministries, for Eric specifically, but for the other ministries on campus, that they would have eyes opened up to see where you're leading and to touch the lives where you're leading. Thank you for these folks, Mom.
Father, we thank you for the testimony of what you've done in Eric's life and what you want to do in his life continually and what you want to do for so many young people on that campus. God, I pray that you would draw us to pray in line with this, that we would support all the ministries on campus, that we would support each one coming to know you, Lord, to know you and to see what you do in the life given to you. And Lord, I pray that you bless him with continued kindness and he would, as we all need to learn and grow in his own individual life, his own personal life, that all the things you teach us to do here, that you would have us to do at home. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. And we love you. Thank you for your desire to reach each one.
Yes.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Yes, God.
God, I pray for the people that Eric and the other ministries on campus are going to be meeting this fall.
Yes.
They're getting ready to come back to Longwood right now, or Hampton, Sydney, or like you said, they're working at Walmart, the line, it doesn't really matter. God, I pray that you start working in their hearts, not so that they're prepared to meet Eric, because as he has mentioned, it's not about Kyle, it's not about him. But God, that you prepare them to meet you through Eric. When they meet you, that is a life-changing experience.
I love those who want to surrender, Lord. Keep them safe. May they want to reach the people that they need to reach. And bring them closer to you, Lord. And the first time, we pray for their wonderful ministry. Amen. Amen.
Amazing, Father, to see a young man out there who's taken a stand in life for you. It's a man that I need for you. It's just, he's an advantage. You're just lost. But you have placed him where you want him to be so that he can make a difference in you. There's been tears of blessing in this group. By an angel around him, placed his feet always on the solid ground, placed the word in his mouth and on his heart. That you have him to speak, that you accomplish that you send him to do. He will be blessed when you say His Son in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for the times in your spirit. Sometimes we get impatient, sometimes we wonder how things work and work. You know the story. All back 5 years ago when Josh Cody and Eric were in high school, they both came to Longwood, heard Eric's story, or Josh's story, and met it. I also they needed a place to live. Josh's family moved to the Richmond area. We kind of wondered why, and there's a lot of reasons, but here's another reason. Josh and Gary needed a place to stay. And now there's a house available. Over a 5-year period of time, Lord, we can just see the Spirit working. Sometimes we wonder whether he's working or whether he's not working. This is an example of what Eric was talking about. So, Lord, would you just thank you that you can make these observations and see each other better.
Lord, we pray over that space, that it would be a welcoming, open place for seekers to go and be prayed for and talked with. Those can come into that house. That house has always been a special house. And again, it's going to be used for your glory. One more time in the history of that house. But I do pray, Father, that it would, the doors would be open to you, the folks that you are leading there, and that they would find friendship, that they would find no condemnation, that they would find Jesus.
Yeah.
That the Josh and Eric and those who would be there to just move and speak into the different people's lives that you would have.
Lord, we do thank you for breaking these chains in Eric's life. And you, Lord, are in the business of breaking chains and freeing people, God. And I thank you for his passion, wanting to see other students experience the same freedom, that they don't have to be bound up in their sin, that they don't have to be bound up in other people's expectations, that they can be free in you, God, know your sweet forgiveness of sins, know the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Know what it means to live moment by moment in your presence. And to also know the joy of living in the community of others who love you too. So I just pray you would bless them this year coming up. I pray we would have that same passion for these college campuses that you have, Lord. We would indeed join him in prayer, Lord. For the campus as a whole and for the specific individuals he brings to our attention. Lord, help us indeed commit to do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for your time. If you're interested in helping support, join my prayer financial support team. Come find me. It's been a pleasure. And if I don't see you again until next week, then come back. We'll be here next week.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.